Good morning, I'm Renee Montaigne. No one marvels anymore at Skype or teleconferencing, but people in London and New York are giddy over a mysterious contraption right out of Jules Verne. The telectroscope involves two giant copper and wood lenses pushing their way out of the earth at the Brooklyn Bridge and at the Thames. Artist Paul St. George claims a giant tunnel connects them, and it has excited crowds peering and waving at each other across the Atlantic. It's Morning Edition.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jean Cochran. Severe weather in the upper Midwest has left 8 people dead and dozens of homes damaged or destroyed. 7 of the dead were killed in a tornado that hit in northeastern Iowa. And a 2-year-old near St. Paul, Minnesota, also died. 20 people are unaccounted for, but St. Paul officials say many residents could be out of town for the holiday weekend. Dozens of homes in St. Paul's suburb of Hugo were damaged. Chinese soldiers have been blasting an earthquake landslide rock that has created a new lake. They're hoping to ease the threat of flooding. The government says the death toll from the earthquake that struck 2 weeks ago has risen past 65,000. A strong aftershock over the weekend killed 6 people. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Chengdu.
Chinese soldiers carried dynamite to the Tangjiashan Lake, where landslides had blocked a river and threatened downstream areas with possibly devastating floods. The official Xinhua news agency reported that the lake had accumulated 4.5 billion cubic feet of water. Thousands of residents in the area have been evacuated. Sunday's aftershock was centered on the border of Sichuan and Gansu provinces. It was the strongest since the May 12th earthquake. Disaster relief officials in Sichuan's Guangyuan city said that the aftershock toppled more than 70,000 homes, many of which were apparently already damaged by the initial quake. A total of around 8,000 aftershocks have rocked the area since May 12th. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Chengdu.
The Phoenix Mars lander is sending back images of the red planet, and scientists say those images show a landscape similar to what can be found on Earth's permafrost regions. Some pictures show patterns in the soil that could be related to the freezing and thawing of ground ice. The lander will spend the next week checking its instruments before starting a 3-month study of Mars' northern polar region. Barack Obama filled in for an ailing Ted Kennedy in delivering the commencement address at Connecticut's Wesleyan University. Craig Lamont, a member station WSHU, reports.
As Barack Obama and Wesleyan University's class of 2008 gathered for this year's commencement, it wasn't to the usual pomp and circumstance. They came into the beats of the university's student Japanese drum ensemble. In his speech, Obama called on the students to focus on service around the world as well as at home.
We may disagree as Americans on certain issues and positions, but I believe that we can be unified in service to a greater good. I intend to make it a cause of my presidency, and I believe that with all my heart, this generation is ready and eager and up to the challenge.
The Democratic presidential candidate agreed to give the commencement address after Senator Kennedy was diagnosed with a brain tumor early last week. For NPR News, I'm Craig Lamolt in Middletown, Connecticut.
This is NPR News. Nigerian rebels say they've sabotaged an oil pipeline, killing 11 soldiers in the ensuing gun battle. The rebels belong to the Movement for Emancipation of the Niger Delta. They claim to have destroyed the pipeline operated by Royal Dutch Shell. Officials from Shell and the Nigerian military have not commented. More than 3 dozen people have died in 3 days of bloody demonstrations in India. Most victims were shot by police, and tensions in the affected area remain high. NPR's Philip Reeves has more from New Delhi.
It's been a violent weekend in parts of the western Indian state of Rajasthan. The scores of people killed and injured include a policeman lynched by a mob and several dozen people shot dead by the police after they opened fire at rampaging protesters in several towns and villages. The trouble concerns people from the Gujjar caste. They're demanding their caste be recategorized. That would allow them to qualify for more government assistance, particularly jobs and university places reserved for lower castes. In the last several days, protesters have set fire to police stations, torn up rail tracks, and torched vehicles. A large crowd is reportedly blocking a railway line, disrupting trains between the capital, New Delhi, and India's biggest commercial center, Mumbai. Philip Reeves, NPR News, New Delhi.
Frank Buckle said he had a feeling he'd survive World War I, but what he could not have known then was that he'd be the last known American-born veteran to survive. The 107-year-old was honored yesterday at the Liberty Memorial in Kansas City, Missouri, with the unveiling of his portrait. It was hung in the main hall of the National World War I Museum. Today, Buckles will be presented with the American flag that flies outside the memorial. I'm Jean Cochran, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Kauffman, the foundation of entrepreneurship, celebrating entrepreneurs who start businesses and change the world, on the web at kauffman.org.
The French Open, the second major tennis tournament of the year, is underway in Paris, with one defending champion looking for a fourth straight title, and the other one retired, gone. Commentator John Feinstein joins me to discuss Rafael Nadal's attempt to make history on the men's side and a wide-open field on the women's side. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Robert.
It seems as we watch the men, there is one simple question. Can anyone beat Nadal?
And that's a heck of a question.